if you found my, I don't want to say body. So if you just like found me on the Ishimura, no. If you just found me on the USG Ishimura and I was just lying down and I might've been sleeping. Maybe I was taking a nap.
I stomp you.
Stomp him.
Yeah, but you don't need to say anything else. Immediately, I stomp you.
I'm just...
Are you alive or dead?
Get his credits.
There are credits. There are credits in your body, and I want them. Stomp.
How long would you wait? Would you ask a question?
So you're asking, if I came across your body on the USS Ishimura,
yeah,
would I check? Do you think that while I'm playing Dead Space, I'm going around and checking on every body? Because there's a lot. And just
a lot of them look normal. They don't look like necromorphs. They just look like people that are like just lying there. Like you're not going to ask, hey, what, like you just taking a little snooze?
Well, no, because there wasn't a moment in the game where one of the bodies sat up and was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Whoa, also, what the fuck happened? Whoa, everything's totally scary here.
There was
everybody's friend is a monster. Every tech sog, every person you chat with, they're like, I have a friend. And you're like, let me guess, it's a monster now? And they're like, it's a monster now.
I mean, there's the lady in medical that is just lying there. And she's like, hey, there's some stuff in here you might need. And watch out, there's monsters. And she dies immediately thereafter.
She dies pretty quick, yeah. And pretty much if you see a human being in dead space, they're not going to be there for very first
time. Okay, so after she died, how long did it take you before you stomped her?
Instantly? What kind of question is that? She has credits in her gut.
There's credits. There could be a stasis charge.
I'm just saying, I think Isaac might be quick to stomp.
You have a stasis charge inside of you, you have to tell us. Legally. It's the law.
It's deep down in there.
He's got the credits down in his guts. Hey,
where?
Down in his guts. Hey,
where?
Down in his guts.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Yeah, man, my name's Griffin McElroy. I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and this game fucking rules.
My name is Ross Freshing, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It is a game club. It's a video game club. And by listening, you have joined our ranks. Welcome. Dues are due with Sheila before the end of the month. Today, we are going to be talking about a new entry in an old series that is actually old in his soul. It's got an old soul. It's Dead Space. But what's that?
Dead Space is a remake of the action horror game from 2008, which itself is inspired by basically John Carpenter's The Thing meets Alien. You play as Isaac walking through an abandoned mining station, looking for your lost love, and shooting off the limbs of, I don't know, Lovecraftian space monsters.
We're going to talk a lot more about it. There's a lot more to say, but first we're going to take a brief commercial break.
You shouldn't have to spend $1 million billion just to talk to your loved ones. But that's what these corporations want you to have to do it, because if we are not able to talk to each other, we're weaker and it's easier for them to take over. And I know that these are maybe some troubling thoughts, but Mint Mobile is here to help you out with that, because for a limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. It's time to, you can organize the rebellion easier talking to your friends and family for just $15 a month with Mint Mobile. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/besties. That's mintmobile.com/besties. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Plan, I was really excited when I could recognize the kanji for Ishimura.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Well, I mean, literally translated, it's like Rock Village. I think it's more commonly, I did a little Googling, not content to trust my own grasp of the Japanese language, I decided to do a little Googling. It looks like it's most commonly a last name. Ishimura does not seem to be a vocab.
So do you feel like this gave you a unique, deeper, like, game
yeah,
fact?
Perspective.
Oh, I was going to say, like, a cheat, like, I think being able to read the kanji is like it's like a cheat code, kind
it
of.
Is.
Okay.
Because you're operating with more information than...
You are the game genie now.
Yeah. This game, y'all, this game is a really, really good game. Huh. I think, and it made me remember how much I loved and have completely forgotten the original Dead Space.
So the original Dead Space came out in 2008, right?
Right.
Like 15 years ago.
Which
good
is,
Lord,
it feels,
like that.
I know.
More recent. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I'm trying to think, has there ever been a... This feels like one of the more recent, like, full remakes. Now, I'm not talking about, like, an HD remaster, whatever it is. This
what
is
are you talking about? There's tons more, of these. They keep happening.
Do you mean, you said more recent. And in
yeah,
the
no,
sense
I,
that it was
so I'm
just
talking
released.
About, like, so we've seen remakes for Final Fantasy VII. We've seen remakes for Resident Evil games. But all those are, like, 90s games.
What about has Demon's Souls or Demon Last Souls of Us? Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Last of Us.
Nonstop.
Yeah,
Russ,
no, you're
you can
right.
just start okay. over if you want.
Demon's Souls is a good point. Never mind. You could.
Yeah,
I know
of
about
us.
Video games. And so, Last of Us, yeah, fair.
This is a remake. It is. They have the original. Does anybody know what the original Dead Space was built in?
Oh, the Tiger Woods engine.
Yeah, the Tiger Woods engine.
I love that.
Yeah, so they've rebuilt it in Frostbite from what I saw in like comparison videos and stuff that y'all sent around, it looks like. The bones are all still there. They wanted to stay true to the layout and stuff, but it seems like they've made some shifts in like the geometry of the ship to make it make a little bit more sense because loading isn't as much of an issue.
The biggest change they made was that the original game was level based so that you would literally have load screens when you're going from level to level. Some of those are like hidden load screens, like you're going down an elevator and it would load the next area. And some of them are like literal load screens when you like use the tram and you go to medical or wherever, whatever area you're going to. Here, the entire ship is basically streamed in such that you won't see any loading. And there are even areas where previously you had to take the tram and now there's just a door and you end up in that area. So it makes the whole thing feel pretty much like a Metroidvania because you can really just backtrack to wherever you'd like. And that's pretty fucking cool.
Okay. I think this is brilliant, and I hope a whole bunch of modern games can learn from this, which is old school level design is in fact very good. And the problem with stuff like Dead Space was the load screens, not that they weren't open world. And I love that this game, like, it's effectively old school level design with, you know, like spoked wheel or the elevator effect where you're like, okay, do I want to go to level one or quite literally on an elevator, level 1, 2, 3, 4, or do I want to go, you know, down the spoked wheel of like four different paths? And down each of those is a traditional, great, very thoughtful video game level. And that is awesome. And it made me realize how little of that I feel like I get these days because everything has really shifted to open world game design style.
I also think we would be remiss if we did not mention the fact that this whole seamless, no loading illusion is kind of enhanced by all of the like diegetic interface displays. Like there is no UI. In the game,
right.
There's like
God of War before God of War.
Yeah, sure. There's no like when you pause the game, you are opening up like a holographic projection that appears in front of you, and you like sort your inventory and stuff like that. Your health is displayed on like this weird meter on your back.
Stuff that was in the original Dead Space.
Yeah, I was going to say something that struck me, sort of dovetailing with that point. Something that struck me watching comparison videos. Between the two is this is also a reminder of the triumph of like artistic design over technical pure power. Because if you look at the art design for the first one, it still looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh, Isaac's armor makes him look like a dork and it still makes him look like a dork. But like it it looks like a world. Like, it still is very plausible, and they made a lot of really good choices with how, like, the world would look that still, like, holds up pretty good. I mean,
yeah,
obviously the remake is leaps and bounds, but, like, it's working off a really, really good base.
Yes, well, to the point that it feels so ahead of its time that it feels more natural, and especially watching those comparison videos, it feels more natural in 2023. It looks like a game for now, and going back and watching the old game alongside it, it looks like one of those, like, YouTuber demakes. Like, yeah. And I say that as, like, a huge compliment. It looks like they found a way to make a 2023 game in 2008.
Yeah, the bones are feel still very modern, which is almost why it was surprising when they announced the remake, because it's like, I don't think you need to change that much about this game to make it feel modern. And it's true. Like, they didn't, you know, obviously they totally revamped the graphics, and we talked about the streaming aspects, but the core gameplay is...
Let's talk about the core gameplay, because it is still my favorite, like, way of interacting with a survival horror game. It is largely predicated on you chopping off monster bits.
Yeah.
These monsters have the most shootable limbs, guys. You all have no idea.
The most electable, shootable.
Babies are just begging for it.
And that's very fun. It's very fun to chop up a monster that is trying to destroy you. It also does the resource management stuff really well. There's some, like, rubber banding that's happening. Like, I found that when I had a bunch of ammo and credits on me, like, I was finding garbage. But if you really get in dire straits, usually the game will help you out with some good drops here and there. But also, you get kinesis, which lets you toss objects at the necromorphs, including their own sharpened limbs, to pin them against the walls. And so all of this stuff that, like, you know, I love Resident Evil 4, and in Resident Evil 4, especially the early game, you can't just be, you know, firing off your bullets nonstop, or you'll run out because of the scarcity that's in the game. But that's kind of formulaic, right? That just means shoot the guy once in the head to stun him, and then get close, kick him, and stomp him while they're down. And you do that over and over and over again, and you reach the end of the game with as much resources as you need. This game is much more improvisational. It's way more creative with the solutions that you are able to do.
I really like how... I'm not the biggest fan of, like, survival horror action as a rule. It's not my favorite. And a lot of it's because it doesn't feel good. Like,
right.
the tension comes from, man, it feels bad to shoot these guns. What's interesting to me about Dead Space is you, like, all the guns are great. Like, you could, if you're willing to spend the ammo, you, like, no monster is a problem, right? Like, even a boss, if you've saved up some good, you know, explosive weaponry, is not going to be a huge deal. So it really is. It lets you, like, get down to that core of survival horror, which is, like, resource management. It's like, how much ammo are you going to waste on this thing? Because you can beat it.
You actually want to spend your ammo, because at the end of the day, you still have the telekinesis, the ability to, like, throw objects. So, like, in a lot of these types of games, I end up sitting on the most enjoyable and fun weapons, because it's like, well, you know, I never know when I'm going to need that ammo.
Right.
Or here, a mix of, like, the rubber banding and the telekinesis, it's like, well, whatever. If I lose that, I have, like, 12 other awesome weapons.
And that the base weapon is arguably the best weapon in the game.
Oh, right. For sure.
And so, yeah. Like,
there's another thing, though, that the game does that makes all of this click into place, and that's when you lose... It gives you a totally fucked up, buck wild death animation every time. That makes it like, oh shit, like I was trying to be a little too prudent with my ammunition there. I'll own that. And one of those weird little, spitting monsters, you know, barfed its dissolving acid into my face or whatever.
There were areas I did 6 or 7 times. Because I was trying to do it in a cheap way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was just banging my head against it. Like, damn it, Justin, just take out your flamethrower. You've got 2 full tanks of gas and fucking annihilate these dudes.
It's such a... The way this game handles, like, I guess gore, right? Like, the way this game handles that It's very drippy. It's very, like, cartoonish and over the top in a way that, like, the game... earns. It doesn't feel like it is so cohesively gross from start to finish that it it the way it revels in it kind of protects it from feeling like gross or bad to play.
Yeah.
It is a celebration of dismemberment.
It feels like practical effects.
It does.
It's wild.
There's a moment early on when you're running away from, it's like the first big scare in the game is you're running away from a bunch of monsters. You run into an elevator, you hit the button to shut the elevator doors, you turn around and one of the monsters busts through the elevator doors and then they slam shut, cutting the monster in half. And you are just, it's like someone took a bucket of water, but in this case, it's alien gore, and just like throws all over the elevator. And it's this amazingly funny, like, moment of relief. And that just keeps playing out over and over and over again throughout this entire thing.
It's also a sort of the meta, I guess, of the game, or the narrative really gels really well with making the lead character an engineer.
Yeah.
It's a very pleasant, like, it's very satisfying to go from, like, area to area just, like, fixing stuff. And
it feels like an RPG in that way. You are playing as an engineer, and everything you do is very true to an engineer.
When all of your weapons, too.
And the weapons are. And I like that, like, whenever Isaac's talking about doing something, it's almost it's never like, well, I'm going to have to shoot through a lot of fucking dudes. It's always like, man, I'm going to have to get this. I want to go over this tank. I got to turn this shit on. It's like, he acts like an engineer who, like, the really monsters are really a secondary consideration to the other dumb shit he's got to do.
Which, in hindsight, tracks why he's so quick to stomp on people, because he's just an engineer and he's not really thinking about anything else beyond the end result, right?
In the parts, Oh, sorry, very, very quickly before we get off the weapons, can each of you share what your weapon of choice has been?
I mean, it varies depending on the situation, but line gun has always been my, like,
line gun is my jam. Line gun is great because it's basically a huge version of the plasma cutter that you start the game with.
Yeah.
It's very, very strong when you use it as a weapon, but if you have, like, an army running at you, you can also throw down some, like, laser traps that you can just turn a hallway into a fucking
like a tower defense game.
Yeah, and not even a tower defense game. That belies some level of strategy required. You can just turn it into a blender that the enemies walk through, and then you collect their great credits and ammunition.
I want to mention, for people that are, like, hesitant to play scary games,
yes,
I think this is actually not a bad option, because you can dial down the difficulty and really just play it like, you know, like you're watching Aliens, which is to say, you play it like an action game.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about resources. You'll get a ton. You don't have to, you know, you'll get all the upgrades, everything like that. And you can just enjoy the romp of it. You know, you might still get jump scared here and there.
Yeah, don't wear headphones if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of, the sound design in this game is,
I mean,
yeah,
it's great, but it will make you very scared.
I get that. What I wanted to mention is there is a whole content warning setting that you can turn on. There's a content warning at the top of the game that is, frankly, like, great, because this game's got gore galore, but it also handles, you know, psychosis and mental health. The idea is that this marker that has been sort of transforming people into these monsters also makes them go crazy, dude. And the way that it handles that is pretty blunt, I would say. But not only does it give you this warning up front of just like, hey, we're going to drop the ball here, it also allows you to turn on this setting where if something
filled with frosting. So if everybody's an arm off, frosting just gooshes out.
If it's about to show a scene that has, you know, self-harm or some, and there is a lot of those, it shows a little icon in the corner. You can turn this on, and then you can, I think you can choose to, like, just skip that sequence.
Speedrunners, listen up.
Speedrunners, check it out.
Yeah. Any percent.
I think that's pretty...
Yeah, that's great.
Pretty rad. Like, it's not just, people give shit, like, I mean, assholes give stuff like this a hard time, saying it's just like, it's just these snowflakes can't handle it. But the way that they have sort of integrated it into the game experience itself is really something else. I was shocked to see a game like this do that.
It's a good solution for older games too, because the self-harm stuff in this game sucks and doesn't need to be there anyway. Like, it's not adding a lot. We saw this with
cheap. It's cheap and it's fucking lazy every time.
Yes, yeah. We saw it with Stanley Parable last year, which you know maybe that works. Maybe a spin. I don't know. I don't even know. If
I
I'd
mean,
say
but
it
is
better,
a it is a trope of horror movies. Certainly,
no. Like, it is.
You know,
but
Event Horizon.
Yes, but it's done much better. Like the it is completely divorced from the plot.
Sure.
Here it is literally.
It didn't need to be there.
Color.
I agree.
And I think it's like, it's nice to have that option for something like this where it's like, you truly don't need it. So if it does make you uncomfortable, great. I mean, you should have this option, I think, either way, but especially with this game, I was very happy to see it there.
I want to mention something Griffin briefly talked about, the story. And this is a Dead Space series. I mean, there's been spinoffs, but predominantly there's three games and these are three sci-fi games. And I don't think I can think of another sci-fi video game series that has a more cogent narrative than Dead Space. It is not.
I mean, Dead Space 3 gets.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
Pretty.
It gets a little. No, I realize if you don't want to necessarily care, and that's like for people that don't want to take the time to like worry about what's happening. But I think more so than like Halo, Mass Effect, like the big ones. Yeah. I understand what is what the marker is, who the Unitology Church is, why they're doing things. Like, everyone has a logic behind them that isn't just like alien space magic. And
yeah.
I think that's great and pretty impressive and very hard to pull off, very rare.
Also, this game is broken up into chapters, and each chapter takes place usually on a different sort of sector of the ship. And each one really has its own personality, and the things that you have to do on that sector are like logical in a way. So like when you're in mining, you're having to go around and disable these tethers that are holding up this huge chunk of planet that you've cracked up. Or if you're in hydroponics, there are all of these like mutant spore blasting humans that you have to inject this enzyme into. It keeps it all from being like kind of samey. Honestly, like, it does the thing that I think the later Resident Evil games, specifically Resident Evil Village, did, which is just like each level is like its own self-contained horror scenario.
Yeah, BioShock is another example of that, I think.
Yeah, I did not. Maybe it's just because like I had forgotten how much I liked this game. I beat this shit over the course of like three breathless, delightful evenings. I have not enjoyed a game like this in a very fucking long time, and I would not be surprised if this cracks my goatee list.
Well, and I would also say I don't think this will be the, you know, I think this, given the fact that it was critically well received and probably selling pretty well, I think 100% we're going to see 2 and 3 come out in the same engine, and they're more or less just going to follow the same model that Capcom did with the Resident Evil games, where they built this thing to, you know, scale and cover the new games. And who knows, maybe that'll mean more Dead Space after that. But
maybe.
It's very encouraging.
Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about some other games that we'd like to see get this treatment.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now is the best possible time to create a website, a web page, a place on the web, whatever you want to call it. You need a home for your stuff. Maybe it's because you have a store, a business, and you want to be able to sell stuff online. That's great. Squarespace makes that easy. They have seamless checkout for customers, simple, powerful payment tools. They accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, whatever you want. You can upload video content if you're into that sort of thing. Maybe you like playing video games. Maybe you like to stream, collect an archive, throw it on a website. But frankly, I think everybody should just have a web space to be themselves. Do whatever you want. Maybe you want to post images of, I don't know, your family. You can share it with friends. Maybe you have art that you want to like be able to just keep. Maybe you just want a place to document your ideas. Remember blogs? You can just write things on the internet and nobody can tell you no. Definitely not Squarespace. In fact, they'll tell you yes. They will say, how can we help? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. You go to Squarespace.com for a free trial. And you can use, hey, the Squarespace Blueprint. It's a guided design system that'll make it all easy for you. When you go there, when you're ready to go and launch this thing, squarespace.com/besties, and that will save you 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So get that free trial at Squarespace, squarespace.com/besties. We'll see you on the internet.
So I feel like we are in an age, and we were just talking about it at the beginning of the first segment, about how there are these games that like mechanically still feel great. They don't feel aged, but they could still use an update. Dead Space is certainly one of the bigger ones. So the question is, are there games that spring to mind that were like great games, still fun to play today, but could certainly use like some, you know, refreshing or a new coat of paint or something?
Before we name games, can I like maybe set a boundary for it?
Sure.
Which is like, why does this work? Because, you know what I mean? Like, there are a lot of games that can get remakes and it feels like cash grabs, right? Or it feels sure. like, why are we getting this? And I'm curious for y'all why this one like really sings, or, you know, Demon's Souls on PS5. Like, what is it that makes one of these really work and others not?
I have a feeling about this that I don't think I realized when I was actively playing it, but definitely going back and looking at some of these comparisons. This to me feels more like if you're thinking about movies and someone's restoring a film, then the restoration that's going to happen is going to be like removing detritus from the image that is accumulated on the celluloid and like, sometimes remixing the sound effects and the music and stuff. But it's about the experience of seeing it and hearing it because that's how you interact with a movie.
And as people saw it and heard it the first day it came out in a movie theater.
Right. Yes. So
do you think that's this though?
Well, so here's what I'm saying though. When you're playing it, when you're talking about restoring a video game, you can't just say, well, we'll make the graphics and the sound more like they need to be. I think it's also like, what are some little things that we can do to make it feel more applicable? So it's like not just updating and cleaning and polishing the sound, but like, how can we make this feel as seamless as it did 15 years ago in terms of like video game mechanics and design? I was looking at one of the things, I noticed the tanks, right? The tanks, the red tanks that you shoot that explode, have the same design in the original and in the remake. That's a very small thing to keep. But yeah. That, to me, feels like someone who is respectful of the choices that were made before, where a lot of these remakes just feel like, we'll make our own textures, we'll make our own shit. It's going to look like, you know, the levels will be kind of like you remember. But this, to me, really does, it keeps so much of the original that it feels like a restoration from a gameplay perspective, where it's like, we're not going to reinvent anything. It's just like, let us clean it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess the comparison would be like, this is a weighted comparison, but the Star Wars re-releases that came out in the 90s of the original trilogy of Star Wars, right? And obviously not all those were great. They added like bad cantina CG scenes and stuff like that, but they also added like pretty iconic like X-Wing shots and whatever. So that's to me, it doesn't feel like, oh, they just went in and like cleaned up the film. Like they did significant work here such that it's not just like an HD re-release.
Yeah, but you're also not like, those sounds are going to be mixed. Like, okay, to use those bad things as an example, right? Changing how it looked and changing big stuff, that's not a restoration. But the updating the surround so it's like Dolby compliant and is closer to what you are used to from it's not going to feel like you watched Star Wars the first time if it sounds a lot worse than the movies that you're used to seeing in the theater now, right? So how do you make it? There are going to have to be updates in that sense.
Yeah. Right.
Griffin, what were you going to say?
Yeah.
I think to answer the original question, the game I would most like this to happen to is Fable 1, 2, and 3.
Fable 1, 2, and 3.
Fable 1 and 2.
Okay.
Not 3. Fable 1 and 2. I think that those games fit the bill of being fun, objectively, having a design that was maybe a little too ambitious for the, like, tech of the time to really fulfill, and with an experience that looks better and sounds better and feels better could definitely stand the test of time. I think the only other game, I'm thinking of, like, the Xbox 360 era. For me, that is, like, the unplumbed depths right now that could see more stuff like this. I think of that. I think of Burnout 3 Takedown.
Oh, yeah.
A modern remake of that using just the same, have it feel the same, have the experience of crashing into shit and all of the, you know, special races and stuff you could do in that game. But have it look and feel like a modern game. Like those are the two that, I guess, three that jump to mind.
I think, you know, you talk about unplumbed depths. I think a lot of the Nintendo canon is, like, kind of ready and waiting for this. The only recent example that, like, jumps to mind is the remake of Link's Awakening.
Well, there's new Kirby.
I don't think of those because those were right? Like, Kirby Superstar 6-in-1, that package on the SNES, right? Classic, amazing Kirby game, maybe the best. But also, like, they nailed it. If that game felt as good as it needs to feel. I feel like the generation of hardware, the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 generation of hardware, had a lot of games on it where the developers had these huge fucking ideas and thought, like, well, this is as good as games hardware is going to get, so it's time. But really, you know, pretty quickly that generation got swallowed up, and now I think we could see some really, really satisfying fulfillments of those original visions on modern gaming hardware.
Yeah, my answer is Metal Gear Solid, because I think there are two things that I want, or where I think a game needs this sort of thing. And one is, has the basics of control or experience changed so dramatically that it is unenjoyable to go back and play the original? And I think Tank Control, similar with Resident Evil, is a perfect example of that. I think the other thing is, and this is where Dead Space really clicks for me in a way that maybe Last of Us doesn't as much, what is the main goal or, you know, I guess graphical power or computing power of a new generation? And right now, the two big things that you get are dramatically improved physics and dramatically improved lighting, thanks to things like ray tracing, but also just, I mean, lighting in general has just dramatically improved. And a game like Metal Gear Solid would benefit from both of those things a ton. And I think Dead Space is a perfect example of, I mean, hard to think of a game that benefits more from, yeah, we made the controls a little bit nicer, and wow, does this game look good when you actually throw modern lighting at it.
Well, the Metal Gear Solid example is interesting because we've seen what slightly better controls in a Metal Gear Solid game looks like in Twin Snakes, and obviously they made other issues with it, but those improved first-person aiming, etc., essentially broke Metal Gear Solid. Like, it didn't
work. You would have to do what happened with Resident Evil and Dead Space, right? Which is,
right,
you have to start making more significant changes.
Yeah, I think more so with Resident Evil. Like, Resident Evil 2 almost completely re-envisioned how that game played to make it work. And I think you would need to do something like that for Metal Gear Solid. Someone said there's only, like, something like 30 total guards in Metal Gear Solid. Like, the guys that are walking around, there's, like, just a few dozen. And it, you know, the second you give anyone capable controls, it does not really scale. So they would need to be a, you know, I know it's been rumored for a while, so it might happen, but it would need to be a pretty major overhaul.
There's nothing new under the sun, right? A lot of these are ideas that have been, like, bandied about or rumored or announced and canceled, whatever. Metroid Prime is a trilogy that I would love this treatment for. There's a lot of stuff in that era where they were making concessions to the platform, right? You know, we specific choices. Silent Hill Shattered Memories is another one that I think about that is an amazing game that has a lot of great stuff in it that I am betting would feel pretty rough to go back to. The only other one that, like, kind of struck my that kind of struck me, that is a franchise that we haven't seen in a long time, but I think would be really cool to see be revisited, and that's Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Fuck yes. Oh, right. That's a great pick.
Oh, man.
That would be really, those were really fun the first time you played them. And I feel like with the amount of power you had, if you didn't play these, they were it's an update of a very old series from Broderbund. 2003, I think Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time was. And it was a third-person action game where the big gimmick was you had this dagger that could reverse time. And that was like a resource that you were marshaling. So you, if something didn't go your way, you could try it again, you know, spend time backwards and try it again. It was very cool. And I bet with modern technology, that could be really reinvigorated.
They canceled the pre-orders for that, right? Of the remake?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think when you see these, you will frequently see them in games that have series to them. So Dead Space, Mass Effect, Last of Us. Those are the most common ones because it allows for them to scale that work to future games. So, you know, they do the Resident Evil 2 remake, they can do 3, they can do 4, they can do throughout. It just kind of gives them more room to play with the engine that they've built for the modern stuff.
The website for these is still up.
For Sands of Time?
For Sands of Time. Yeah,
Ubisoft says it's still happening, but they canceled the pre-orders.
They also say Beyond Good and Evil 2 is still happening. So.
Yeah, they say, Ubisoft says a lot of things. I mean, I think that's probably...
I want to call out just a few of them that jumped to my mind. I think Ocarina of Time, dying for a redux.
I mean, the 3DS remake of that was perfect, though. Like, I don't know, but
I think the core of Ocarina of Time, is still pretty, like, stodgy in a lot of ways. Like,
it's tough.
It is very stiff and linear and could use an update. I think Mario 64, like imagine Mario 64, but with the mobility options that you have in like a Mario Odyssey. And the last one,
there may or may not be the fully bootable version of Mario 64 on PC that is pretty damn close to what you're asking for. Yeah.
I also want to mention the Half-Life series, I think,
yeah,
would really do extremely well with these sorts of remakes.
I thought Black Mesa did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, that's true. For Half-Life 1, I think Half-Life 2 is a great example of a game that, like, I don't think really needs to be touched from a mechanical standpoint, at least not significantly, but certainly could use a new coat of paint. And,
oh, yeah. Half-Life 2 with the Half-Life Alyx, like, yeah. Look.
Jesus, man, that would be... Well, I mean, or in cool VR, that would be fucked up. I'm going to give two more. Freelancer. Really, any space shooter... that genre has been underserved, I think, in this modern era. I think it's really just, you know, Star Citizen's going to be a thing people can play one day.
Well, and that X-Wing game that came out.
Yeah, that's another good example. And that was another remake, right?
Yeah. No, the new one was, that was a new game that came out a year or two ago.
And the first two Deus Ex games. I think if they could somehow have those running on a modern engine,
that'd be cool.
If you've only played Human Revolution and whatever the other one was, the first
you've
two
never played Deus Ex.
The first two Deus Ex games were much more System Shocky, more Bioshocky, and I loved those games.
Yeah, those games were great. The second one was maligned, but I actually thought it was quite good.
I thought it was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything that David Cage ever made.
We're ready. We're ready, Dave.
We're good.
We don't need one that. Request. We're good. Hey, I'm Dave, fine. One request. Don't change a word. That's the one thing about it. I need the original script, original voice.
Oh, boy. Maybe remove yourself from all projects.
Yeah. So you can spend time on the other projects.
Of being an asshole.
Fahrenheit 2. We're ready.
We're ready. America's ready.
We're ready, David. We love you, David.
No, we don't.
Hey, David. We super don't.
Hey.
He's terrible.
David, we stand.
We don't. Just to be really clear, he's terrible.
We stand in an unproblematic cage. We love the man.
Not a good person.
Not a good person.
Repeatedly sued. Anyway,
should we talk about honorable mentions?
Zip the law!
Yeah, I would love to fucking get anything else going on please, the podcast.
Please. That sounds great, great. Frushtick, what are you playing?
Okay, so Teardown, which is a game I've talked about quite a bit, has a new free expansion that added 5 new missions to the game and new tools to blow shit up with. Teardown, just a quick refresher, it's the voxel-based physics game where you basically have to do heists within a certain amount of time, and you make these paths through buildings using construction materials to like blow holes in walls and stuff like that to make these like perfectly, you know, speedy paths through these environments. Super satisfying, super fun, works great on Steam Deck for what it's worth. And this expansion is completely free for people that own it. They also support Steam Workshop, so there are a ton of awesome mods for Teardown, including one that I downloaded yesterday called Comet, where anywhere you click, a comet, giant comet, falls from the sky and just like fucking annihilates anything that gets in its way. And cool. It probably wouldn't surprise you that the Steam Deck drops down to about 3 frames a second, but it's totally worth it and amazing and super cool. So highly recommend it.
I, having recently finished my journey through the Dragon Quest series, which was a real delight, I have picked up and am now enjoying much more Yakuza Like a Dragon. The Dragon Quest inspired entry, the turn-based RPG entry into the Yakuza franchise.
Are you playing that on Steam Deck?
I am playing that on Steam Deck. It runs phenomenally.
Seems like a good fit for that.
It is. I bounced off it the first time because it's a huge game and I forget what it was competing against in my mind, but it just, I wasn't willing to invest the time in it, even though I really enjoyed the story. But now I'm really enjoying the story and the characters and the game mechanics because I've kind of reprogrammed my brain having played all of the Dragon Quest games in such short order. That game is really cool. Oh, right, because
it's also turn-based, yeah.
We should, when we do
I mean, it's not like just turn-based. Dragon. In the game, they discuss Dragon Quest a lot.
Well, and there's an entire mini-game.
Yeah, there's a whole, very, very charming game.
I think it's going to be hit, that Dragon Quest series. Anyway,
when the new Like a Dragon comes out, we should, for the B segment, everybody should bring their own favorite Yakuza.
Oh boy, how do I choose? I really like Yakuza. I wish I had the patience. I get distracted by stuff. Speaking of, I just mainly been playing a lot of Vampire Survivors. God, that game, guys, it's the best. Like, if you ride a bike or anything, it's the best. Like, game to make your brain go away for a while so your body can do other functions. But I don't want to talk about that. Paul T. Goldman, if you didn't finish it. Griffin, did you finish it?
Fuck yeah, I finished it.
How astounding is that show? Finish that.
It's really good.
It's only 6 episodes. It's an incredible finale.
Peacock?
It's on Peacock.
So I can watch that and Poker Face. I can justify a social.
Oh, yeah. That's
and the Traitors.
And there's one more on there waiting for you, and it's called The Traitors.
Yeah, baby.
I'm surprised.
I also hear Killing It is good.
I haven't watched.
I don't know that one. That's Traitors is
Craig Robinson and it's supposed to be very good.
Traitors is a very quick. It's a reality TV show where 20 people who are a blend of reality stars and regular Joes basically competing for a big chunk of prize money that is added to throughout the show. 3 of the people in their number are traitors, and the people in the cast are voting every night to eliminate someone they suspect of being a traitor. And also the traitors are murdering people every night and removing them from the game. So it's a race against time, basically, for the cast to suss out who the murderous traitors are and the traitors to eliminate people who they think are a threat. And the whole thing is hosted by Alan Cumming, who is coming for Jeff Probst's crown as the greatest reality show presenter ever. He is having, Griffin, back me up here so it doesn't seem like hyperbole, the absolute time of his life. One of my favorite things about this show is at the beginning, when they find out who is murdered, they come down to breakfast and whoever doesn't come down was murdered that night. And then Alan Cumming joins them. And every time he does a grand entrance down the stairwell where he barrels the camera and smiles at you as you enjoy his new outfit. And that shot's in every single episode. And it is not since Superman winked at me as he flew around the planet in Richard Donner's original Superman film have I felt such a delight at being seen. He's having so much fun. And the entire thing is like, is a blast.
He's also does the thing that I think it, I watch a lot of reality competition shows. A lot. My favorite shit is when the host is into the game. And there are so many like challenges where he like comments on or is delighted by the performance of the people on the show. It's, gang, it's the best reality show I have seen since The Circle first aired. It is fucking essential. It is so good. I would recommend it to literally anyone. We just finished it last night, and it is just start to finish. It doesn't sound like there would be too much strategy that could go into it because, you know, it's not like The Mole where they're trying to throw missions, and so people have like a ton of information to go off of just based on performance. It is entirely based on trying to figure out, one, who is lying to you, and two, like, why the traitors are making the decisions that they make to vote off the people that they vote off. But there's so much that goes into it.
They also really smartly, the people who've been on reality TV before are, you know, there's part of the, like, oh, I know them, like, recognition factor, but they've also got people who are really good at this. And it's really interesting to see people like this, like subcategory of like, no, they're just like really smart at how games work. Like they're very smart at like understanding the meta of this as it's developing. And like, I would say contributing to the meta of this game, like it really legitimizes it to have a lot of really smart game players who can like intuit how the game is working and the internal logic of it. It's really, really great.
I just very quick, I got a few podcasts for people. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl again. It's fantastic. If you care at all about football, Times Hours, the Chiefs podcast from The Athletic, is hosted by just some of the nicest people covering sports. You Pod to Win the Game, that's Yahoo's football podcast, is also just great journalism. Like it's just really good sports journalism mixed with commentary. I love them both. But I know not everybody wants sports. So I have another video game podcast that is brand new that I think you all will like. It is called My Perfect Console, and it is by Simon Parkin, who is an author and a critic. His work has appeared in like The New Yorker and New York Times, along with Eurogamer. Just a really nice dude. And it is him talking with guests like the creator of Wordle about the type of games or the specific games that they would put on their dream console. And really, it's just an excuse to talk with people about their lives and what they like and what interests them and what means something to them. And it's a really good listen.
Cool. We did it.
I want to did it. Yay. Thank people.
I wanted to thank the following people for writing reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts. Help me, please, please. That is a person's name, not me. Twink of Gremlins and Mr. Mercer. Thank you so much to everyone who wrote reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts.
Were those three different people, or should that be read as "Help me, please, please"? Story. Twink of Gremlins, Mr. Mercer.
It's a haiku.
Thank you to everyone else who wrote reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. What did we talk about this week, Plant?
Ooh, this week we talked about a whole slew of stuff. We talked about Dead Space Remake, and then we talked about a bunch of games that we think deserve, you know, a little extra love, including The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, Half-Life 1 and 2, Fable 1, 2, and 3, Burnout, Takedown, Metal Gear Solid, Metroid Prime, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and Freelancer. Not 3. Sorry,
not
Fable
three.
1 and 2, and not 3. Let me be clear, Fable 1 and 2, but not 3. Next week, we're talking about Hi-Fi Rush, baby. Surprise release. Action platformer thing from the people who made
The Other Thing.
Evil Within. But now it's like cartoony rhythm game. It's cool as hell.
Maybe the best cel shading I've ever seen in a video game.
It's good.
That is going to do it for us this week on The Besties. Make sure to join us again next week for The Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!